during one of my talks at camp, I projected a picture on the screen of a ship, the Titanic, that was halfway sunk in the water. And the caption underneath the picture was kind of ironic. It said, "Sometimes your main purpose in life may be to serve as a warning to others." And that's unfortunate that sometimes is true. And the way that picture was meant is really kind of meant to be a humorous thing, because you see these kind of motivational posters in workplaces. And this is from a company called Demotivators, and all of the posters are sarcastic. But it's that your purpose in life may be to serve as a warning for others. Well, what we read about this evening in 1 Kings chapter 12, Jeroboam, you know, everybody knows about Jeroboam, and they know about him for one thing, and it's not good. And sometimes that's the kind of legacy that someone leaves. The thing that Jeroboam was known for was the golden calves, and that is the legacy. He led the northern nation of Israel into sin, and they never recovered from that. And every other king that followed after him in Israel followed in his footsteps. And that was not a good legacy. That was not something that was good to have others follow. Let's just look real briefly at some of the instances of this in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 26, we see Nadab was one that followed in the footsteps of Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 26. "Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, which he made Israel to sin." Baasha in 1 Kings 15, verse 34. Same story. Verse 33, "In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha the son of Ahijah came to reign over all of Israel at Tirzah, and he reigned 24 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin, which he made Israel to sin." And I'm not going to go through all of the different places, because we could spend the next half hour repeating this statement. And you remember this from when we covered this in our Old Testament survey. You've got Ella, Zimri, Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah, Jehoram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, Jehoash, Jeroboam, Zechariah, Shalom, Menahem, Pekahiah, Pekah, Hoshea, and a couple of those, there's nothing said about their reign because it was so short. But the majority of all these are wicked, and it's stated that they are wicked and that they followed in Jeroboam's footsteps. And that's a very sad legacy, because every time we hear the word Jeroboam, this is what we think about. We think about he was repeated over and over. He's one of the, you know, if people like to have their name mentioned, you know, his name was mentioned over and over, but it was not in a good way. So a very sad legacy to leave. And I don't know anybody named Jeroboam. I don't know anybody named Jezebel. You know, somebody would have to be a pretty poor parent to want to name their child after somebody that had one of those names. I don't think they build ships now and put name them the Titanic. You know, I mean, there's lots of other better names, right? And so there's lots of other better names than Jeroboam and Jezebel. So a very sad legacy to leave. And so that's one of the points that we made during our week at camp, that one way or another, you're going to leave an example for somebody to either follow after so that they avoid doing what you were doing, or you're going to leave an example that is good. Many times in a place of business, when somebody is fired for cause, people will look and say, "What did they do? I don't. Whatever it was they were doing, I'm not going to do that because I don't want the same thing to happen to me." And it's too bad that all these kings of Israel could not look back and say, you know, all of these people have been wicked and things have not turned out well. But that was the legacy that, Jeroboam left, and many others followed after that same legacy. But turning the page to someone that has a better legacy, let's look at Joshua. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, of course, you know, we first remember Joshua because he was one of the two faithful spies that when they went in to spy out the land of Canaan, Joshua and Caleb came back and gave the positive report. And then at the end of Moses' life, Joshua was chosen to continue the leadership of bringing the people of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. So look at Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You ever heard that statement before? "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." It was cross-stitched in our house, and probably in yours too. In some form or another, it's hanging on the wall in lots of people's homes. And I would like to think that everybody that has it posted in their home, you know, follows after that, and that their house does serve the Lord. Unfortunately, it's probably not true that everybody that has it posted actually follows it, but Joshua is adamant that he wants this. That had been the way that Joshua had led his life. That's the way he had been living. He had been that kind of example to the people. And that is the legacy that he wants to leave. He's telling them to leave behind anything that's evil. Leave behind the legacy of your fathers that did not serve God properly. So Joshua's life story is one that is really of complete faithfulness to God that we can see. And because of that, he was appointed as Moses' successor to go into the land of Canaan. So here we see him challenging the Israelites to faithfulness in one of the most famous verses of the Bible. He says, I'm going to do what's right regardless of what everybody else does. I'm telling you what to do, and I hope that you do it, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And because of his influence, the Israelites were faithful to God, at least for a generation. If you look over at Judges chapter 2, it talks about Joshua's influence, and that generation was faithful to him. Another example of one that is faithful to God, but you know, there may be some things about Isaac that we don't want to follow, is in Genesis chapter 25. Isaac was one that was faithful to the Lord, but he had a parenting flaw that caused some problems in their family. It impacted his children. It impacted his grandchildren. If you look in Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 and 28. "When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So what you see here is that both parents are playing favorites. Rebekah is playing favorites with Jacob, and Isaac with Esau. And this played a role in there being constant friction between the two and in their descendants as well. And Jacob behaved the same way, didn't he? Jacob behaved the same way as his father did in playing favorites with his children, as well as we see Joseph and Benjamin being the favorites in that family, and ultimately, you know, caused Joseph to be sold into slavery because the brothers were so jealous. And of course, you know, that we see God's work in all of this and in their lives, but the point here is Isaac had some good points, but him playing favorites here did cause some issues in the family. So the point is you've got Abraham and you've got Isaac and you've got Jacob. And in general, you would say that they followed after the Lord and that they were very important in the history of God's plan in the history of Israel. But they were not perfect. And you see, the children learned good and bad from their parents. So you could say that Jacob learned a lot of good things from Isaac, but he also learned some bad things. And so that's part of a parent's legacy. Sometimes children learn things from us that's not really necessarily flattering when we see it played out. There's some commercials right now. I can't remember which insurance company it is, but the point is that, you know, we can't prevent you from sounding like your parents. And you hear things coming out of their mouth that sound just like your parents. We can help you with your insurance, but we can't help you, you know, when you're turning into your parents. Well, you know, what's the problem with that? Well, a lot of people don't want to turn into their parents. You know, they hear, you know, things come out of their mouth that their parents said, like, you know, stop that crying, I'll give you something to cry about. That kind of thing. That my dad used to say, and I never understood how that was going to fix anything. You know, if you don't like me crying, you're going to give me something to cry about. Well, I'm still going to be crying. So that doesn't fix anything. But parents will say things like that, and then the next generation will end up saying the same thing and say, oh, I sound just like my mom, or I sound just like my dad. But when we see Isaac's legacy here in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41, it said, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. And so the jealousy and the trickery that we see here going on in this family caused a lot of issues. In Genesis chapter 37, this is Joseph's dream in verses 1 through 4. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of him to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the son of his old age, and made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. And so this background and these things going on were because children learned that kind of behavior from the parents. And that was part of Isaac's legacy. We see Paul, on the other hand, Paul is very careful about the way that he left his legacy, and there were things that Paul certainly would not have wanted others to imitate about his life that was before Christ, before he became an apostle. He certainly would not want people to be imitating that. But every time you see Paul talking about imitating, he says, "Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ." It's not about Paul wanting people to be just like him. He wanted people to be like him if he was imitating Christ. So if you see something else in Paul's life that's not consistent with being Christ-like, Paul said, don't follow that. And I believe that's the same thing that each one of us would want as parents, and anybody that truly wants others to follow God would never want people to follow in their footsteps 100%, because we don't want people making the same mistakes that we made. But if there's something that we're doing, an example that is Christ-like, certainly that can be followed. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And it was because Paul was careful to imitate Christ, then he could tell others to do that as well. So the sobering question for us is, are we able to echo Paul's statement? Would we be comfortable telling somebody else to follow us? Paul was confident that he could say that. Can we tell people to imitate us? Or would we have to say, well, you know, imitate me 80% maybe, or imitate 70% of what I do, because the other 30% I really don't think that's a good idea. would we really be telling people to imitate Christ if we told them to imitate us? It's a sobering question. Jesus, of course, is the one that left the perfect legacy for us to follow after. He is the Master, and we are the servants. He's the one that left the perfect example for all of us. According to Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the servant is to imitate the Master. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 10, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, but the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? Also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, really, this goes hand in hand with what Paul is saying, because Paul said to imitate me as I imitate Christ. So here we just cut out the middleman, don't we? We go straight to Christ and imitate Him. Verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed, for you are straying like sheep, but have been returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. So Peter's saying he's the one that you can follow without any kind of reservation. With anyone else, there's a little bit of hesitation, because we have to be exactly like Christ. We need to be Christ-like, and obviously He is the one that set the example for us. He sets the example for us in mistreatment and suffering and how to respond to that. When He was reviled, Peter said He reviled not again. When we are reviled, you know, we're wanting to get even. But He was willing to suffer, and when He suffered, He didn't respond in a sinful manner. He took it patiently and didn't respond contemptuously to those who treated Him poorly and unjustly. So, you know, what is it that we see around us in regard to those who impact us? One of the things that we hope happens when we get together for camp with, you know, 300 kids is that all of the staff that's there, you know, will be a good example. And, you know, we took Gary and Susan, and they were good examples, I think. I didn't follow them around to make sure, but I know that both of them, in their different roles, they would be godly examples. And the other staff that's there, we wanted them to be kind. We wanted them to be patient. We wanted them to be loving. Certainly, if you don't like children, it wasn't a place that you needed to be. And if you weren't patient with kids that aren't your own, it's not a place for you to be. But for the majority of the folks that were there, they were very patient and kind and set an example. And they're in an environment where they have more of that than they would the rest of the year, because they're not going to get that at school. And it's not to say that there might not be a bad egg once in a while in some of the other campers, because it's hard to control behavior with that many. But what I'm saying is the majority of the people are there are wanting to do right. And it should be an encouragement to those that get together. It's just like when we come together as a group every Sunday and Wednesday. Hopefully, what we see when we come together is much different than what we see out in the world the rest of the week. We see those that love God and they love each other, and it's different than what we see the rest of the time. And we want to grow from that association that we have together. We want it to make us stronger. So when you think about the people in your life who impact you, maybe it's your family, maybe it's others that you come in contact with, there are things that we see that are good, and there's things that we see that are bad. And we ask the campers to think about their parents and their closest friends, their teachers, the people and at their congregation, and to think about those that would be a godly example. You know, they might know some that they wouldn't want to follow, and they might know some that are like Paul and others that would set a godly example. And you know, kids are very honest when it comes to that kind of question. They know when somebody is doing right. They know when somebody's doing wrong. They know when somebody is not the kind of example that they ought to be. So the point in talking about a legacy is not to be focused on what others think about you, or that you have your name on a building, or that you're somebody important. But you know, what is it that you're leaving behind? What is it that people are seeing about you? Because everybody is going to leave something behind. And we're going to have an impact on others. I want that to be a good impact for all of us. That when people come in contact with us, that they come away better than they left. Because like Paul, when they look at us, they see Christ. And if that's not what they're seeing, then we have adjustments that we need to make in our lives. So that's part of what it is that we discussed during our week at camp. And I'll have another lesson or two, you know, from that study in the next couple of weeks to show you all of what it was that we studied. We had very good response to the classes. The teachers enjoyed that study, and I think it was beneficial to everybody that was there, because ultimately in our lives what we are doing is we are trying to follow Christ, and we're trying to take others to heaven with us. And that's what, you know, this life is all about. And so let's leave a path that it's safe for others to follow. Let's not leave roadblocks and stumbling blocks behind that people have to navigate to be right with God. Let's lead by example and lead by the right example. If we can help you in any way tonight to be faithful to the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.